prayer for just a moment. I'm excited about what the Word of God is going to bring to us today. I'm praying that God's Spirit will change each and every one of you. I know that He has worked on me on this lesson, and I'm excited about being here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, God, for coming to give this first fruit of the week to You. Lord, I pray that You would honor the people that are here today, but that You would challenge our minds, that You would challenge our spirits, oh God. God, that You would help us see our place in the body, that You would help us see our responsibility to each other, and we will give You praise today. We will give You honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to start with a little opener this morning. I was sitting in class last week, and I'm still in the cross training. And if you haven't been to cross training, please see someone, go to cross training. It's an awesome class. But I just want to let you know that I need your help. I was told by Sister Cassandra that she is going to mark me absent today because she's not really believing that I'm out here teaching. So if you see Sister Cassandra, would you please just track her down and say, no, he really was here. Now, he may not have taught well, but he taught, okay? So track her down and do that. Please, for me. I told her that I would have some witnesses verify that I was out here. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're going to talk this morning a little bit about the ministry of prophecy. The ministry of prophecy. Prophecy is one of the gifts that are considered the service gifts. God, when He ascended, He gave gifts unto mankind. One of the gifts that we received is the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is free to everyone. If you have never received the Holy Ghost, there will be in the main service today, I'm sure there will be further information, but there is in the book of Acts where they received this gift of the Holy Ghost by repentance and speaking in tongues and being baptized. And the gift of the Holy Ghost comes in and you begin to speak with another language. That is a gift that is available to everyone. And as we are going to look at this a little bit later, there are other gifts that God has given to the church that every one of us have received. Now, some of you are sitting there going, I'm not sure about that. The gifts of the Spirit, God says, every man, and I'm going to get into this in a little more detail in a little bit later, every man, and He is not speaking just of the male gender, He is speaking of the human being, every person has received some gifts of the Spirit, whether it's one or whether it's several as He desires. Everyone in here has a gift of the Spirit above and beyond the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we are talking, when we're talking about the gifts today, we're not talking about the basis of our salvation, the gift of the Holy Ghost, but we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And everyone in here has been given a gift of the Spirit. Now, the gift of the Spirit, for many, it's like, ooh, it's all spooky and it's ethereal. And it just, all of a sudden, I don't know, I'm intimidated. I don't know what I'm going to do with this gift that I've been given. Or how do I even know that I have a gift? Or if I've got it, what do I do with it? Why? Oh, there's so many questions about the gifts of the Spirit that we make this real high-level thing about. But I'm going to teach you today the simplicity of the gifts of the Spirit and the simplicity of operating in the gifts of the Spirit and the safety in the operating of the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are divided into several different categories, if you will. There is service gifts. There is equipping gifts. There is motivational gifts. And each of these gifts have a different purpose within the body. But all of these gifts have one objective and one very clear objective, and that is the edification of the body of Christ. It is the edification of the church. Now, I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but the church is the recipient of both the gifts and the operation of the gifts. This is a very important point that we'll cover in depth later, but the gifts were not made for evangelism and outreach. That is a byproduct of the gifts, but the gifts of the Spirit were given to the body of Christ for the body of Christ. There is a purpose within our body for the working of the gifts of the Spirit, and when these gifts are not working, the body is not always healthy. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to cover a few more of these, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about specifically the ministry of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to the another the gifts of healing. The same Spirit. Okay, so this is one Spirit giving gifts to individuals within the church. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So you may not have just a gift of the Spirit. You may have multiple gifts of the Spirit working within you. And we'll talk more about that here in a moment. Jumping down to verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of a miracle? Miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The ministry of prophecy in the church. I've been in the church for very many years. I remember laying on the floor under the pew in Louisiana because the concrete was cold and the church was hot. I remember, you know, and I hear stories that of things that I did when I was funny as a two-year-old and a three-year-old in church. And so I've been in the church a long time. And one of the things that comes through is this concept of prophecy. And people have very many different understandings of the concept of prophecy. Some people think that it's a big spooky thing. Other people think that it's, oh, in your face, the prophet coming to David and saying, you are the man. You know, sitting here thinking today that, you know, we think about the prophets and they come and say, bless God, you're going to split the gates of hell wide open. God spoke to me and said your sin is doing this. And there is a portion of all that that is true. However, in its native sense, a prophet is nothing more than a spokesman. A prophet is a spokesman for God. Let's look at Exodus 7:1. Aaron was Moses' prophet, okay? Moses, who was called by God to lead the people out of bondage, had a speech impediment. He could not talk. He was afraid to speak to Pharaoh. So what happened? Read this verse here. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. It's a little g, by the way. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. The prophet is nothing more than a spokesman for the Lord. God speaks to this person, And that person says, this is what God told me. God speaks to their heart, to their mind, and that person says, here is what God says. That, in its definition, is a prophet. Now, how do we know about some of these things that you've seen in prophecy that, oh, this is going to be happening in the future, and God is going to do this for you in the future, and God knows this? God operates outside of the limitation of time. Okay? God operates, and this is hard for us to comprehend, God operates as the I am. In the future, he's already there. In the past, he's already there. In the present, he is there. Okay? So when he is speaking, is it possible that he is speaking of what he sees in the future? Yes, he will. Is it the only ministry of a prophet? It is not. The prophet is simply to speak the words that Christ gives him. The prophet is the spokesperson for God. But we also have to remember that prophecy is for the edification of the saints. The word edify in the Greek, oikidomio, I do not have the gift of Greek pronunciation. So I'm putting it up there for you right now. That's not a gift that I have received. It is not a gift that I am seeking for either. But the word edify, I can pronounce it in the English, is frequently associated in the New Testament with the concept of the gifts. Now, there are some other uses of the word edify in the New Testament, but most of the time, when it talks about the giftedness of the church, it's associated, whether explicitly or implicitly, to edification of the body. The word in this context that it's used means building up, benefiting, strengthening, and making more able. Some of the archaic terminology of this is to establish and to have a foundation. So that is what edification is meant to be for the body. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, we're going to read this in the King James. Later we're going to come back to this in the NLT. But we're going to talk about some of the equipping gifts right now. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with the wind of every doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. I'm going to stop there. The gifts that God is giving, some of these being the equipping, they are specifically related to your stability in the doctrine. If the church is not operating with the gifts of the Spirit coming through us, we are more susceptible to being blown around by winds of doctrine. And some people are like, whoa. The whole thing about prophecy and some of the controversy about prophecy in the years that I've been in this is a prophet would come out and then they would begin to drift and they would have these weird doctrines and these weird beliefs that they would begin telling people. And because they were speaking truth here and then they begin to speak falsehoods over here, people begin to believe their lies because they had the demonstration of the Spirit. And we're going to address that in a few minutes. But the proper working of the gifts of the Spirit actually makes it so your doctrine is foundationally strong. Your doctrine is solid, and these winds of the Spirit of different doctrines that are coming through, they're not going to blow you around because God is using the gifts of the Spirit. Now, some of the gifts of the Spirit are the preaching, are the teaching, but the other gifts of the Spirit support this same edification. The edification of the saints, when the saints are edified, it produces sound doctrine. whereby they lay wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So as the body becomes stronger, what happens? It grows, making an increase for the edifying of itself. The plan of God is to have the gifts of the Spirit working in you so that you could then edify someone else, and then that edification is becoming stronger, and that is how the body grows. The gifts of the Spirit working in you. Every one of you in here is essential and can be essential to the strengthening and growth of the body without going out on the street corner and shouting, "Repent today." Okay? There is a place for that, but that is not what the gifts of the Spirit are about. They're about strengthening the body, and you have a gift of the Spirit. Let's jump down to Romans 12:6. Edification and the motivational gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Although the word edify does not appear in the immediate context in the list of motivational gifts, as I said, the purpose of these gifts remain the same. Why do we need edification? As I've said, edification is one of the things given to the church. It is for the church, and it strengthens each and every one of us. A secondary impact of the execution of the gifts within the church is to impact the unbeliever. So Paul was talking about when an unbeliever comes and everybody is speaking in tongues, that doesn't really edify the unbeliever. They're going to say, "Whoa, they're kind of weird." But if somebody is prophesying, so what's the difference between speaking in tongues and prophesying? And some of the gifts are indirect gifts, but some of the gifts are direct gifts. What I mean by that is there are some gifts that benefit the church. There are gifts of service. There are gifts of helps, of being around, of cleaning. There are gifts that you have in your life that you are excelling at that are, I would call, indirect gifts. And then there are other gifts that are direct gifts. And what I mean by that is, if you stand up here and preach, what I'm doing right now is teaching, hopefully. That is a direct gift. I am directly talking to the body of Christ. So you have the indirect gifts, and you have the direct gifts. There are some gifts that are public gifts, such as speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues, which if we went into a little bit of a scriptural dissertation on that, which we're not going to do, so you can relax a little bit. That is different than the initial filling of the Holy Ghost, but there is a gift of tongues where God begins to work through you in speaking of tongues. But that edifies not the body, it edifies the person speaking in tongues. Unless there is one who has the gift of interpretation, and then that is a direct gift that edifies the body. So there is the direct and there is the indirect. But during the direct gifts, that's when a sinner can walk into the sanctuary, and even though they think things are strange, something within them, their soul begins to burn. They begin to hunger. They begin to realize, and all of a sudden their mind is touched and their body is touched. But that is not the primary reason for the gifts of the Spirit. That is the secondary reason for the gifts of the Spirit. Why do we need the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church. So one of the gifts is a gift of knowledge. So you know things. I just want to let you know that this little section right here, I don't operate in the gift of knowledge, okay? I am not operating in the gift of knowledge. This is actually the operation of the gifts of probability and statistics as taught by Dr. Jane Griffin in my 12th grade math class, okay? 1 in 6 women in America have been molested. 1 in 6. The opioid crisis, and that's what it's being called everywhere right now, is affecting thousands and thousands of people. I actually ministered and served under a pastor that had been caught up and was ministering while at the same time he struggled with addictions after being released from a medical issue at the hospital. We have a crisis in our hands of people being addicted to heroin and all these opioids, and it's not getting better in the world right now. But guess what? There's also people that have been abused physically, verbally, emotionally. Today, there are people that are being attacked by satanic forces that Satan has come against. There is depression in this world. And the statistics and probability, and there are statistics out there for this that I looked up, although they are a smaller percentage, people who consider themselves evangelical, their lives given to Christ, are still struggling with these issues. Above and beyond that, each of us have these thought patterns. So I'm going to jump briefly here. Actually, we're right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to pause there for a second. So what is a stronghold? I've always thought of a stronghold as, you know, Satan's got this place up there that he's embattled in, and he's come against us, and he's got this stronghold. But a stronghold is really nothing more than a thought pattern, okay? How do we know that it's even related to our thoughts? If you look at the next verse, it says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In our minds, there are some strongholds that we have to have the weapons of God's warfare. Okay? I can't tear down some of my own thought processes. I have to have some of the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church to help me change my thinking. Now, we have these thought processes that are built in many different ways. Okay, it could have been from abuse. It could have been that you were a perpetrator. There are many reasons. It could be that, for me, in some areas, I grew up very, very poor, and I had thought processes around that. I had strongholds in my life that kept me from the blessings of God because of my thinking. It's not all just bad. Some of it is anything that takes away from allowing Christ to reign supreme in our life. How do we change our thinking? Well, one of the things, and the thing that is going to help, one of God's weapons of warfare is the gifts of the Spirit. They are mighty to God to pulling down these strongholds. I need someone, when my faith is rocked and I'm walking in here, I need someone to come up to me and say, hey, Clarence, God said, God told me to tell you that it's going to be okay. God told me to tell you that just hang in there. He's got something good for you. Okay, I need someone to come up to me when my faith is rocked, or I'm struggling with something, and I'm just imagine what it's going to be like if you walk in and the gifts of the Spirit start working, and somebody comes up and says, hey, God's got this all under control. He's going to be your rock. He's going to be your strong point. You don't know what's going on in my life, but you allowed yourself to just allow God's edification to come through you. That is a weapon of God's warfare. You are a weapon of God's warfare. The gifts of the Spirit that He has given you is a weapon of God's warfare, and it will pull down strongholds. It will change people's hearts and their minds. One of the interesting things about spiritual gifts, and I am not a licensed minister. I have no aspirations of being a licensed minister. I am simply a member of the body that has been given a gift, and I'm operating in that gift the best that I can be. But one thing that is interesting about the spiritual gifts, and we're going to get into how do you begin to operate in your spiritual gift. One of the things that's interesting is the spiritual gift is something that God has given you that you have a longing to do, that you feel like that's your purpose to do, and that you're good at it. Okay? It's nothing real spooky. It's nothing like UFO. You know, I wish I could have, you know, the old UFO sounds from the 1950s movies. It's usually not a revelation of this gift. All of a sudden, Brother David, you're not going to be popping up and going and putting your hand out over thousands of people and they're going to fall over. Okay? That's not how the gifts of the Spirit typically work. Now, if God chooses to do that, that's awesome. But what He does, and this is a key verse that we were talking about, according to your proportion of faith. According to your proportion of faith. We're going to skip a couple verses here. We're going to jump down to Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 9. How can I still be humble and still want to be used of God in the gifts of the Spirit? So, we have a culture, and not all culture is bad, but we have a culture that says, don't exalt yourself. And there is truth to that. But how do we have a desire that God is calling us to do great things, and God has asked me to do great things in Him? How do I reconcile that with, oh, always be humble? Always prefer your brother above and beyond yourself. So this is, I'm going to give you a couple things about operating in the gifts of the Spirit in a few minutes that will help you reconcile that. But the other thing is that you will start small. Now, we are in what's called a safe zone. And if you have some education, there's your safe place. Okay, the church should be your safe place. And the fact that we are operating in the gifts of the Spirit between the members of the body, there should be a certain amount of safety on that. Brother Ray, I should be able to come up and not fear that if I feel like God's told me something and I feel it's good for you, I won't fear telling you that because you and I are friends. We're in the same body. We're in the same church. We're in the same congregation. I'm not going out to someone that may be devil-possessed and doing this right now. I'm coming to a brother. I'm coming to a sister. And there should be safety in operating that. The fear of, oh, well, they're going to think I'm strange. Well, I am. I'm over that right now. I'm strange already. But I want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 9. This is in the New Living Translation. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Okay, I'm going to pause there. If God has given you the gift of prophecy, this is where I said you may not start speaking to thousands. You're going to probably start speaking to maybe a family member You're going to start speaking to someone you know, someone that's safe for you, because that may be your level of faith. How do I know God's using me in the gift of prophecy? Well, try it. If you feel like God is wanting and pressing you to speak to someone, speak to someone. So there is, in prophecy, there is private prophecy, and I have to be careful on this. It's not private interpretation, okay? It's more of an individual. Private is not the right word. Where I speak God's fresh pneuma, the breath of God, to an individual, an encouragement, and edify them. And then there's public, where you're speaking to a crowd. That's two different types. But according to your measure of faith, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, duh. Be encouraging. Nothing worse than we had this at work the other day, and I hate to admit, I participated in it. Okay? We had a decision made that we didn't really agree with, and instead of encouraging and all like that, now, I hope that I have a gift of encouraging, but my faith in that is kind of low, especially after Friday. You know, that you get caught up in, Brother Jerry, I'm sorry to hear about your loss the other day. That car was beautiful, bro. That just, you know, instead of encouraging, coming up and saying, hey, God's got it all in control. We don't know what's going on, but whatever happened. Now, I'm not working in the gift of knowledge. To my knowledge, he's never lost a car in the last few days, okay? I should have put up there a little thing that says, this is a actor, not real people, or something like that. So, but if you are going to operate in the gifts that God has given you, just operate. That's what he's trying to say. Just do it. If you feel like God is calling you in an area, and I can't tell you what gift you've been given, but if God is calling you in an area, just do it. And what's going to happen? That faith is going to build. As God begins to use that, he's going to build it. So when King David, or at the time he wasn't king, he went to Saul and he said, I want to face this giant. Guess what? He did not go out and face the giant at the start of his trusting in God. He said, I have killed lions and bears. Okay, he started. Now, this is not scriptural, but in my mind, I got to think he started maybe with some groundhogs, maybe with some moles. You know, he was winding that sling up and he'd let it go. And you know, that mole that was making his sheep skittish. And he started going, you know, I can do this. God is protecting me in this. And then the bear came and he did it. But when the time came, instead of responding to the threat, so if you think about this, David's response was, the bear came, I protect my sheep. The lion comes, I protect my sheep, to I'm going and offering myself to protect the armies of God, because his faith had been built up over time. So as you begin to minister in whatever gift God has given you, it's okay to start small. The Bible says don't despise the time of the small things. Don't despise the little things. Because God is going to take what you're doing and he is going to increase your faith. And to the proportion of faith, that is how the gift will operate within you. Okay? It is based on your belief and trust completely that God is doing this for his people. So don't feel overwhelmed that you've got to start operating your gift of the Spirit in a way that is exceeding and public and just blow everything away. Start small. It's okay. Romans Romans 12:6, having then the gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I'm re-stressing according to the proportion of straight faith. The other thing, don't try to be someone you're not. God will use you. You don't have to change your personality. You don't have to change who you are to allow the gifts of the Spirit to work through you. God has set us each in the body, and He is going to use you as you are. You don't have to become something else to be used. In fact, if you try to become something else, you're going to be a little less effective in the use of the Spirit, okay? So just be yourself. We love you as you are. Well, most of you as you are. We're up here trying to change you all the time with teaching, but we love you as you are anyway, right? So the other question, and we're getting closer to the end here. We're going to end on time. I don't know if Brother Herman's back there or not, but I'm going to leave that one where it lays. The other question is, how do I know if it's God or if it's just me? I'm feeling that I need to speak to somebody. How do I know it's just me or is it God? I'm going to give you some foundations to let you know that initially when you're starting small, it doesn't matter if you follow these guidelines. Ooh, I saw some looks right there. Here's what we're going to talk about. First of all, the gifts of the Spirit absolutely must, without doubt, be operated and accompanied with the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The gifts of the Spirit must absolutely, and I'm repeating it, must absolutely be accompanied with the fruit of the Spirit. If you know that God is dealing with you right now and you have absolutely no fruit of the Spirit, hold off maybe on some of the gifts of the Spirit right now, okay? Why do I say that? So the gift of prophecy, this word of God, it says the word, the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Okay? But if you are, and now let me back up a little bit here. You do not have to be perfectly ripe in your fruit of the Spirit to allow God to use you. But if you are of a reprobate mind and you are anti-everything church, you can control it, and it's time to step back. And I speak from experience. I went through a period of life, and it was even while I was here, where I was not even sure that God existed. I was not even sure. In all honesty, despised some of the things of the culture and of the ministry. I went through, when I came here, and this is just an example, the least influential person in my life, and this is no surprise to him, he and I have talked about this, the least influential person in my life was Pastor Linder. He could have said anything to me and it would have mattered not. But you know what happened? A body member, a person that was sitting in the congregation, that was not a preacher, that was not a speaker, showed me friendship and showed me love. I began to feel what I needed, not from the ministry. They were doing nothing wrong, but I had a stronghold, a thought pattern in my life from some things I went through that their effectiveness was decreased in my life. That is why we have to have everyone in the body operating with the gifts of the Spirit that God has given them. We are going to have people coming in here that are backsliders, and they're going to be walking into this house, and they're going to be hungry, that the pastor is not going to be able to relate to. They are going to be people that they are not even going to be able to talk to, that you are going to be able to go up to and minister to. And God is going to use you to strengthen the body. It's not just the responsibility of the elders and the teachers and the preachers. Every one of you, every one of us has the responsibility to minister to the body of Christ. Here's some a litmus, a little checklist, that if you go through this in your mind and you're good on this checklist, this is where it's not going to matter if it's you or if it's God. And then that's going to let your faith begin to build up, okay? Because you'll find out, you know, God used that more than my little words said. Is what you're going to say match up doctrinally to the Bible? The very first thing on any gift of the Spirit, it will never, ever contradict the doctrine that is taught in the Bible. If it is contrary to the doctrine of the Bible, it is absolutely not of God. Okay, that is the very first thing that you begin to question. The second thing is what you're going to say match up to the fruit of the Spirit? Am I saying this out of love? Or am I saying this because I'm a little irritated that that person never uses their blinker, or you know, I'm starting to get my personal preferences here. But am I motivated out of love? Prophecy, if it doesn't have love, it says it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, or maybe I got those mixed up. I don't know. The third thing is what you're going to say to that person going to edify them? Is it going to build them up? Is it going to strengthen them? If it's going to strengthen them, so what if it's not the gift of God? You still can operate in encouragement and strengthening other people as long as it's doctrinally correct, it is done out of love, and it's going to lift them up. Just do it. Are you submitted, and this is a key point, to the leadership that God has placed in your life? Now, the gift of prophecy and some of the other gifts, and I've got 2 minutes here and we'll wrap this up. Gift of the prophecy and some of the other gifts, God uses them in correction, okay? He will come, as I said earlier, and your sin is a stench before the Lord, you know. And the other thing, this is, let me step out of teaching for a moment. God really doesn't speak in the King James English all the time. Okay, so if you're going to prophesy, feel free to prophesy to me using, you know, American English or British English or whatever. I don't have to have the these and the thous. All right, now I'll step back into teaching here. But concerning correction, the use of the gifts in correction, a prophet must speak the word. So the word is used for correction. But first of all, a prophet must submit themselves to the leadership of the church. And the leadership, the structure of the church, is correction comes and is the responsibility of the pastor. It is not the responsibility of the body of Christ to correct other members of the body of Christ unless the pastor has specifically authorized and permitted you to do so. So my recommendation, if you feel like you need to speak a word of correction, contact the pastor. Say, Pastor, I feel like the Lord gave me this message for this person. I want to submit myself to you. What should I do? I'm putting him on the spot there, okay? But it is not the responsibility of the body to correct the body. It is the ownership of the pastor to be able to give correction. That is a very key point. So if you, I'm 1 minute over already, I'm sorry. So if you that checklist, begin operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Begin letting God use you, and you're going to start seeing a change. We're going to have some revival within the body. Some strongholds are going to come down. Let's stand. God, I pray right now that you would begin to move in this house. Lord, you said that you give to every man severally as you will. I pray right now that they would be endued with spiritual gifts, God, that would allow us to operate freely and grow this body in health. And Lord, I pray that you would move in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us desire the best gifts, oh Lord, that you would help us to be willing to operate in them. We will give you praise in Jesus' name.